Fred Pin Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the Torino Film Festival 33rd edition, and today I'm in company of Craig Roberts, director of Just Jim. So welcome, Craig.
Thank you very much. Hi. Hello.
So that's your first feature film. First of all, as I was asking you before, how is Torino treating you, and how was the press conference?
First and last feature film. No, hopefully it won't be. But it's amazing. I arrived yesterday. The place is beautiful and everyone's very nice. It's very cool. It's very cool.
Did you sneak on your press screening to see the reaction of our reaction, the journalists?
I did not. I didn't even know that screening was happening. So that was yesterday?
Secret, yes.
How did it go? Was it terrible?
Well, they were all laughing all the time. I don't know if that was the reaction you were hoping for.
That's good if they laughed. Yeah, I didn't want anybody laughing. It's no, that's good. That's good that they laughed, I suppose.
So first of all, I would like to ask you, for our listeners, basically, if you could briefly introduce your film.
Yes, my movie is called Just Jim. It's about a lonely teenager coming to grips with his boring surroundings. And then at some point, an American moves in next door to sunny Wales and becomes his friend and then his enemy. That's probably a terrible way to pitch it, but yeah, that's pretty much it. And then things get really weird.
Did you get the idea of the film? The genesis? Strangely
from an Eminem song called Lose Yourself, and there's a lyric in there that says, "Best believe somebody's paying the Pied Piper." And then I got fascinated with the Pied Piper story about this guy coming into a town to get rid of all the rats and stuff. So yeah, that then became the American. So the American came into the town.
Let's say talking about Pied Piper, and you sort of used this to introduce and to play with the theme of the double, at least from my point of view.
Yes.
And because we don't know whether Emily's character is real or not, and we won't know till the end. So I was wondering why this choice.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Yeah, you don't actually know even by the end. Which that choice was because, I don't know, I like movies that when I leave the cinema, I have to have a discussion with a friend about, and I kind of come up with my own interpretation of the movie. That I really like. And I don't know, it was kind of, I never really wanted like a good old happy ending where the guy gets the girl and everything is fine, because that's only for movies. Like, that only happens in movies. That doesn't happen in real life. It's interesting that, you know, in a movie, we end when the happy ending comes. Like, what if you were to continue then for another 20 minutes? I'm sure things would go sour once again. So it felt right to, in a way, it is a happy ending because he becomes comfortable in his own skin. And that was the main thing that, you know, the message was that being content is sometimes a stronger thing than aspiring to be really cool, I suppose.
Because actually, that's what I was thinking. I mean, the theme of the double helps you to introduce the constant fight that it's typical of us, especially in adolescence, where between what you think, who you think you should be, and who you really are.
Yes,
right?
And that's what the American represents. He represents what a teenager would think is cool, and he also represents the dark side of him. Like, I wish that American could come out of me every now and again so I could stick up for myself. But, you know,
I call it the other me.
The other me, yeah, that's a good yeah, the other me would come out. I want the other me out all the time. I would be a much better person. Yeah, so that was the intention, that, but unfortunately for Jim, he's too weak, so the other me comes out the whole time and takes over his life, takes over his psyche.
And there's also another thing that I really like. You were saying that he becomes comfortable in his own skin, and what I liked is that you show this path through a non-conventional some non-conventional happenings. I mean, that normally in a coming-of-age film, that could be your film.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that he's constantly reminded by, for example, his parents, that he should be himself, that he should find it, that he's okay the way he is. But here, he has to accept himself by himself. I mean,
yes, yeah.
And you let Emil Hirsch say, "Don't be yourself," which is kind of like,
yes,
totally the opposite of what we used to listen to. And that's beautiful because he reaches this, let's say, solution in his life. He becomes comfortable in his own skin by himself.
But yeah, exactly. It's literally him. He's the only one. And you're right, like, there's in any coming of age movie, 50 minutes in, the dad sits the boy down and he's like, "Listen, son, this is how it's gonna go," you know. And that doesn't really happen. The parents couldn't give two craps about him. Like, they really don't. So yeah, it felt right, and it felt more powerful that he would come to it. But again, you're right, it's slightly different, so some people will like it, some people won't. That's good.
And now I have a question that my colleague that was with me asked me to ask you.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So you wanted to know the connection between the 20-something killer of the black and white film,
yes,
that Jim always goes to,
uh-huh,
and Emil Hirsch character, if there is, obviously.
Well, there's the movie is called The Piper's Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a killer who leaves behind a lit cigarette, who's like 20-something. And then Emil Hirsch turns up, who is kind of the Pied Piper, who smokes cigarettes in every scene and is 20-something. So there's definitely... there's a connection, but it's whether or not it's just a coincidence and that's that, or whether Jim has just made up the character in his head. I don't think there's an answer to it.
But how did you come up with this connection?
Mainly just trying to make it too complicated for myself. Like, I started with the Piper, like, yeah, the Piper, and also the rat theme, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just had that, and yeah, I don't know, I just kind of, I started... because he's a pathological liar, it made sense that everything he's experiencing could all blur into one, and he's watching that movie over and over again. Like, it's the only movie that cinema plays. So, you know, he knows it word for word, and, you know, when he starts fantasizing, which he does a lot, it's going to make sense that, you know, that movie will seep into it.
And about the cast, how did you get Emil Hirsch involved? And have you ever thought about acting and being the protagonist of your film? Or there was a moment in which you thought...
It was never intended. No, I wrote the movie to direct, and that's all I wanted to do. But because we had very little money, I had to act in it. That's the only reason. But Emil Hirsch got involved because there's a director called David Gordon Green who's great. And he... passed the script to Emil, and then I got a call from Emil being like, "Hey, I like the script, let's do it." And then, like, within 3 weeks, he was in Wales. It was very bizarre. It felt like the movie. Emil came into this small town in Wales. Nobody knew what he was doing there. It was pretty surreal.
Yeah, Emil was great in Prince Avalanche.
So good in Prince Avalanche. That movie is so great.
Yeah, I remember that David Gordon Green told me the thing that I always quote when I'm talking about films that balance perfectly comedy and drama, because uh-huh, he says that's what life is. It's it's farting in the middle of a funeral.
Yes.
That's life.
Yeah.
That's what he said, and I always keeping that in mind.
That's so David Gordon Green.
Yes.
Yeah. He would do that. I could see him doing that.
That's something that there's also in your film. I was telling you before that we all laughed about that. It makes you think, but at the same time...
Yeah,
you know,
that's good. I mean, but what's interesting is, and this probably would have been the case, if they were laughing up until about 50 minutes, and then it stops, like nobody's laughing anymore, because there's like a tonal change where things actually get serious, and the tone of the movie changes with the protagonist's circumstances. And that's always interesting to watch audiences adjust to, because some people feel uncomfortable with it, because if you're laughing for 50 minutes, why are we not laughing for the rest of it? Is it now not a comedy? So yeah, it's interesting I like playing with it because it becomes slightly thriller-esque by the end of it.
I just have problems with the dog because I'm very...
Rule one, never kill a dog.
Yes.
That's what I did.
Okay,
yeah.
You spoiled this part, but anyway, yes. And now that you said it, why?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it felt right because all his friends had abandoned him, and then he's only got his dog, and then his dog is taken from him by the American...
Craig, I wish you the best for your film. So good luck. Thank you for sharing this experience in your first film.
Thank you very much for having me.
I really hope to meet you again.
Yes. Anyway.
So thank you, Craig Roberts, director of Just Jim, here screening here in Festa Mobile. This is Chiara Nicoletti from Torino Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.